This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And today, we thought, hey, it's been a little bit, couple weeks since we talked about role-playing games, so let's drag some topic out of our ass. Any ideas?
Well, we were talking a while ago about games that didn't get the attention that we think they deserve, just because they're special in their own way, at least to us.
Yeah, great games that never quite caught on. Yeah. So is there one that you would like to champion, maybe tell everybody why they should go find this game and give it a shot?
Yeah. When I was... this has been a long time ago, of course. But a game came out from Avalon Hill Games, and it was called Tales from the Floating Vagabond. And basically, the Floating Vagabond is nothing more than this massive bar that sits on an asteroid. And it's one of the most popular places in the universe. And you play a patron. You are nothing more than an intergalactic adventurer. You go out and do your quests from here. And the person who runs the game is called the bartender. And he's part of the union of bartenders. Let's see here. The game has it listed as: the bartender's union is so powerful that its rules and bylaws could supersede physical law. However, they do have competition. And they've got all the different rival bars. And so you might have, this bar fighting this bar. Group of patrons versus group of patrons. And you had all kinds of cool characters you could be. You know, the characters would have certain shticks to them and certain skills. And it all played towards the comedy. You know, one of the quotes in here is, on the eighth day, God said, "I need a drink." And that's when he created the bars. So, you can do things like... my wife, she played a... her character was this cute furry thing. It's nothing more than just this living teddy bear kind of thing.
But
it's furry and cute. And she had this... one of her skills was look good at all times. And so we had this reptilian character who drank this ultra-powerful alcoholic beverage, and he made his save so that he didn't die instantly, but he threw up all over the furry thing. And it just kind of like, it's almost like hitting, water hitting oil. It just went and just spread. And not a drop was upon this cute furry thing.
Nice.
But they've got, all kinds of, awesome weapons. My favorite one is these hand grenades. You chuck a hand grenade at your opponent, and it opens up a rift between where it exploded and this dimension of horrible, fuzzy monsters. They're just these adorable, cute monsters. It's called the cute death grenade, because these cute little things just come crawling out of this rift and just tear you apart. And then they sucked back into it when the effect ends.
Nice. So,
one game that I was planning on playing, but we could like I said, we could never really get traction with this game.
Yeah.
I had intended to have this evil group of villains. Their plan was to take over the universe. And to do so, they needed to be protected from all these insane patrons who are just armed to the teeth. So they started kidnapping bartenders. And one of the special abilities that bartenders have is they are invulnerable to harm when they're on duty. So they started kidnapping bartenders on the swing shift. And so they were going to attack during the swing shift with bartenders strapped to their ships.
Okay.
Of course, like I said, it never got to actually being a played game. But we were looking at Drive-Thru RPG, and a new company has taken over as running the game and keeping the game alive, and they've added a whole bunch of new things to it. So if you're looking for a fun game that has a lot of real, you know, quirks to it, this is a game you should really check out. I mean, it's hard to explain how cool it is until you actually start reading it. Now, I do have to warn you, the system itself is its own worst enemy. I mean, it is just, it's hard to work with.
I would best describe it as arcane.
Yes.
That's why I gave you that game, by the way. Yes. I couldn't understand.
But we sure gave it a game try, trying to figure it out.
We did.
But just looking through the, just like the bartender's screen, they've got a group of Elvis impersonators fighting one another. And one of them is smashing a robot in the face with a chair. They've got the Three Stooges and the Bride of Frankenstein drinking at the same table. That sort of thing.
Yeah. It always struck me as having humor similar to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I think that may have been a big inspiration for the authors.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They wanted to hit that kind of sense of humor, but they also wanted it to be
much more violent.
Well, yes, more violent, but they wanted it to be more of, they wanted to add their own influence to it.
Yeah.
That's where the problem arose.
There's definitely a paranoia feeling to it, too. Not paranoia as in the emotion, but as in the game. And with all that, all those influences thrown together, it is insane. And thus, you might figure the rule set is not exactly sane.
No, but
they don't make anything easy. I would suggest lots and lots of home rules.
What I would suggest is converting the whole damn thing over to D20, D6, D100, a universal system.
Keep the setting, use a different universal system.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
I very rarely say chuck the whole system and start over, but in this case, and with Rift,
Palladium games in general,
chuck the system and keep the setting.
Yeah. Now, for me, when I was back looking at the wall of old role-playing books I have in my office, because for the life of me, I couldn't think of any Dark Horse games that were really, like, overlooked by the populace.
But you already mentioned one. Paranoia.
Actually, Paranoia had a huge amount of traction. There's a bunch of people playing it, and I believe it's like in a fifth edition now.
Really?
Yeah. It's still being put out.
That's interesting.
I know, right? And it's made major changes over the years, so I was like, yeah, that could be one. And then there was a bunch that I love. They're all out of print. So it's like, yeah. But then I came across one, and I decided to check it. It is easily one of the most unique games I've ever seen. It has a solid system. It makes sense. And the setting just screams, this could be a continuing campaign for years. You just have to have the right players with the right mindset. They have to be able to roll with it. Because it's a weird world. And that's Dark Conspiracy. Now,
I don't recall that game.
I think we made a character. You made a character for it once, but we, when you came down to visit just after I got married, and we weren't able to actually play it. We didn't have time or something. But I know my wife and I have played it a few times, actually, and it works. It runs very smoothly. We're playing first edition that was put out by Game Designers Workshop. And still available. You can get this puppy on DriveThruRPG. You can buy a soft cover book copy. I don't need one. I got mine. But Dark Conspiracy is, like you'd think, it is a action-adventure game set in a world of conspiracies. You know, it's supposed to be near future. There's like some travel to the moon and things like that. So there is some, you know, more improved science. So it's, you know, not like a cyberpunk setting, but along those lines. But everything's retro. Rotary phones, big black rotary phones, like out of the, mostly out of the 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. The cars are all big with fins and whatnot. It's just the looks. They may run, be electric cars or whatever, but they all are styled after Edsels and that sort of thing. You know?
Eckert. Yeah.
So it's a very stylized look. You're looking at, you know, late 40s to the mid 50s sort of view of the world. And, okay, you know, men wear suits, women wear dresses, that sort of thing, right? And so you got a kind of a, almost a noir sort of feel, film noir sort of feel to the setting. But you're investigating, you know, as a character, that things are not what they seem. That there is a vast evil conspiracy behind everything. There are aliens. They have invaded. They are running things. And they're like, you know, mind control and psionics and whatnot. And it's just, you're trying to, you know, survive being wiped out by the evil forces running everything, but also to expose them. And so we're talking almost a Lovecraftian type of horror behind everything, but not quite that far out. So, yeah, it's like, you know, UFOs are a real thing, and they're really, really horrible. So, it just always struck me as, man, that could be an awesome game. But unfortunately, when I describe it to people and tell them about what we're trying to do, they just go, they couldn't get into the whole 50s, but also near future sort of feel. That just didn't resonate with them. And, you know.
But they absolutely love Fallout.
I know, right? But that's a different thing. That's a totally different thing. And you know, I get it. This is a setting that is unlike any other role-playing game. There's nothing like Dark Conspiracy. Well, other than second edition Dark Conspiracy, of course. Also available on DriveThruRPG, apparently. But not that we're, you know, I'm not sponsored by, you know, DriveThruRPG, by the way. I'm just saying, this is where I go to buy my stuff. So.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like you're hawking for.
I know, right?
Hey, maybe you will get somebody to sponsor you.
You know, that would be kind of nifty, actually. I would not mind. Because, you know, God forbid somebody actually put some money towards this operation.
They wouldn't put money. They'd let you choose one of the oddball games once every year. Get it for free. Or at least 10% off.
You know, this is weird. I'm trying to find. Oh, okay. I see. They've done it differently. Second edition is you have to have multiple books. And they're only put out as PDFs. But first edition you can get as a softbound book or PDF. That makes sense. Ooh, and they have the source books too. I like that. But anyway, besides the setting, I really can't see anything that really pushed people away from Dark Conspiracy other than maybe an utter lack of advertising. I mean, I remember this coming out at the same time that role-playing games were breaking away from the classic D&D model. You had White Wolf pushing the world of darkness. You had lots of science fiction and different types of fantasy coming out. People didn't think of, well, role-playing and D&D. They thought role-playing and a multitude of other games. And that may have been part of the problem, is that out there in this vast amount of, oh, the shelves are filled with all these different types of games, and then you've got this one, just Dark Conspiracy. You look at the cover and it shows, you know, big bulbous, you know, 50s style cars and all that, and it's like nothing that really just pops. It's not like the cover of Vampire, which was evocative with the green marble and the flower, or second edition Werewolf hard copy, which actually had rips, you know, like claw rips through the front cover. Mm-hmm. If you were at the store and you picked this up, you probably wouldn't think anything of it because nobody talked about it. You weren't hearing any buzz about it. I picked it up, like I do all the books when I'm at the game store, and I flip through them, or, God forbid, flip it over to the backside and read about the game. You know, if it's something, oh, what's this? I've never heard of this. Why don't I read about it? Instead of, this isn't a game I know, put it back on the shelf. Sometimes gamers piss me off.
Sometimes. Generally always.
I'm sorry, but this is a great game. And there's been so many, as I've, you know, complained about before, there's been so many overlooked games. And I just, you know, this is just one of many, but it's a great example of what the hell happened here. I mean, I get it. Games Design Workshop, not the biggest company. But, I mean, let me find it again. What was his name? I gotta load it up. Lester Smith. It's not like Lester Smith was some scrub. He knew what he was doing when he wrote a game. Dude,
yeah,
did a good job. The setting, like I said, was great. But also, it just, the rules just freaking worked. It was, it felt like Cyberpunk. Not the same system, but you know how Cyberpunk just fucking works?
Yeah.
This just fucking works. I mean, there have been games that I love. Don't get me wrong, I love the Dresden Files. I do. The Fate system, oh, that's a great freaking system. I love it. Dresden Files, the way they handle magic,
yeah,
makes me want to punch a kitten. It's frustrating, and I don't like it, and I'm going to toss it out the window on our next game.
Cool.
But that doesn't mean it's a bad game. It just means I don't like how they handled the magic system. I don't think it runs smoothly. It's like trying to play a Decker in Shadowrun when everybody else are combat characters.
Well,
it makes the magic users, basically they're separated off because they're trying to do their things and it just takes so long.
Meanwhile, werewolves tearing shit up.
Yeah, it's like, this is, it's frustrating for the player. It's really frustrating for the game master because you're trying to balance everything out and it doesn't feel like the Dresden Files books. So I'm gonna house rules that and fix it. But when playing Dark Conspiracy, I didn't have that. It just worked. Now, of course, we didn't have a huge amount of games with it. It wasn't like maybe there's some major flaw that I just happened to miss. We didn't come across it. But I don't know. That's a game that just, if somebody was asking me for something that was really, really unique, it would be Dark Conspiracy and The Whispering Vault. They're both the most unique games I've ever played.
Well, that's a good testimony.
Yeah. Well, I would think so. I mean, I certainly haven't played every game out there. Maybe I've missed some, but those two, you can't go wrong. And since I'm here, unfortunately, well, maybe I typed that wrong. I was searching for Whispering Vault with Lester Smith.
Aha.
Yeah. Unfortunately, The Whispering Vault is not available anymore. It's all gone.
At least for now.
I just don't see it ever coming back.
Well, that would be a shame.
Yes. two companies tried putting it out, and it wasn't an expensive game, but it just never, it was a thin book, and I think a lot of people thought it must have been a supplement, so they just ignored it. So, yeah, no bueno. But this isn't about that game.
No.
So, do you think that if you were early on, you know, in your role-playing career, that Tales from the Floating Vagabond would be a game you would suggest for a new group?
Most definitely. Especially a group that has a quirky sense of humor. You know, our early gaming group, we had a lot of players with a lot of interesting personalities.
Yeah.
And that sort of game would have gone over big.
Now, is now, it the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Gonna say, well, what I was going to say was, the problem is, with the system it has, there are a lot of ways that a power gamer or a rules lawyer can screw everything up.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's why I say, if you've got a group of friends with interesting ways of thinking, you know, they like to do things out of the ordinary. You know, kind of like how when Bob was playing World of Warcraft, mm-hmm. we're in the middle of a fight with a boss, and he just screams squirrel and runs off to go kill some random little squirrel that's off in the corner of his field of vision.
Uh-huh.
Odd people would find this game enjoyable.
Yeah.
Am I saying that my wife is odd?
Yeah. Yes. But that's okay. She's asleep right now.
Well, even if she isn't, if she hears this, she's going to agree with me.
Yeah.
Because you have to be off and odd to have married me and stayed with me for 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Now for Dark Conspiracy. I'm not sure I would suggest it for a new group. Mostly because, even though they could handle it, it's, you have to have played multiple different types of games to really understand and get the setting. Because if you've just gotten into role-playing, you've probably just, you've been only played Pathfinder or D&D or something of the one game in the World of Darkness. You know, one of the bigger, more headline type, the big name games. Mm-hmm. I would say Dark Conspiracy is the type of game for players who have played at least 10 different types of role-playing games. They've played science fiction. They've played horror. They've played fantasy. They've played adventure. They've played spy-type games. If they can just, you know, look beyond one system and, well, I'm used to it. You know, you roll this dice and you do this. If they know lots of different dice systems and whatnot, they're going to be able to pick up Dark Conspiracy and go, flip there and go, oh, okay, so it's kind of like this, but more of a retro feel, and it's a, okay, and it's got a kind of Call of Cthulhu feel kind of in the background, but not. And, you know, they've watched some old, you know, UFOs versus the world type 50s science fiction schlock movies. If they can get into that mindset, but dark and really brooding, yeah, this is the game for them.
I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. It's not that old of a movie, but I think it's like The Faculty.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah. Actually, that, if you could think of the faculty, but with more of a retro 50s feel.
And it's not just a school, this is, you know,
the whole world. Right. That would be a really good starting point, but that's a little too in your face because the aliens are right there. This is, the aliens are in the background. You don't see the aliens. You see their agents. They're mind-controlled puppets. They're, you know, maybe there might be monsters of some sort that are come against you eventually, but it's more of a, you're fighting against the controlled agents. The ones that are either willingly working for the shadow governments and whatnot, or they're controlled. So, yeah. Anyway, we're going a bit long, which is surprising. I wasn't sure this topic would be able to push through for 30 minutes, but anyway, so till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Billis.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.